Want to learn how to fix laptops? Learn with over 40 HD videos, instantly downloadable at laptoprepairvideos.com. Welcome to PodNuts Daily, episode number 293. This is the show where computer repair technicians help out other computer repair technicians. And we go into other areas as well. I mean, today we have a system administrator on the line here. So we delve into that, you know. In PodNuts Pro, we go into enterprise and small business customers. So we're kind of all over the place. We try to make the scope as wide as possible. So we're diversified, I guess you could say. And that's what we do. We try to help out computer repair techs make more money, do better in their jobs and their businesses. And let's get started right now. I'm going to introduce the guest, Mark Williams. Mark Williams from CertifiedSysAdmin.com. What's going on, Mark?
Not a whole lot. How are we doing, Steve?
Doing great. I'm happy to have Mark on because he has never been on a PodNuts show before. So it's something that I encourage. The more new blood that comes on the show, the more viewpoints we get. And I think that's a great thing. So thanks for taking the leap, Mark.
No problem.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do, and then we'll get into the guts of the show here.
All right. Well, I've been working with computers since probably 1985. My first machine was a Commodore 64, and I think my first PC was back in 92, and I've been working with them ever since. Right now, I work for a company out of East Lansing, Michigan called Professional Technology Development, and they started out in the 70s training people to use computers when they, you know, when they first came on the market, and they were, what, $3,000 a piece or something. That grew into training. We now hold the state contract for all the state employees of Michigan who need training on Office and Photoshop and Crystal Reports and that kind of thing.
Wow.
And then we've also got another end of the business that does, they create database-driven websites and application design. And then there's my end of the business that does all the small business support.
Oh, great. So is that your specialty, small business support?
Yeah, probably 90-95% of all my calls are to local small businesses. We serve probably a 30 or 35 mile area.
Cool. So what do you do specifically? Do you actually do the jobs? Do you offer the support, hardware, software? What do you do?
Everything.
Everything.
I'm the only guy in my department. So I handle everything from end user phone support to wiring up a whole new office and, you know, installing the servers, troubleshooting, Exchange, you name it, I do it.
Huh.
And that's what's so cool, because I had 15 years at a machine shop. It always worked with computers on the side, and the business closed down. And we fell under that NAFTA agreement, so they sent us all back to school, and I went in for finished up my computer science degree and came out with three or four certifications and a degree in computer science. And like 2 weeks before I graduated, I got this job, and I've been here for about 3 years. So
damn, that's great. I mean, you made it work out well for, you know, unfortunate circumstance turning into something good.
Yeah, I actually came out of it with a, you know, a better paying job and something I actually liked to do. hated working in a factory, but yeah, this is pretty cool. I really like it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I actually read your post that you put in the forums on the sign up page, and you went over a little bit of your history there. If anybody else is interested too, they could read it there too. But it's a great story. All right, Mark, so what did you want to talk about this week?
Let me look over my notes here. We already went over my history. First thing I thought I'd go into is, I know you guys have talked about certifications before. So I thought I'd throw in my two cents on, you know, whether you need to be certified or whether it's advantageous or not.
Sure.
I've got an A plus, a network plus, a security plus, and Microsoft certified professional for XP. And I'm studying right now for my server 2008. We need that done by March. So I'm kind of cramming for that one. But because we're a Microsoft certified partner, and you know, it's kind of like a nurse. You got to have so many, you got to keep your certifications and stuff up every, right. I think we need two every year or something like that to maintain our partnership. So,
okay. So I guess for you, certs are absolutely vital if you want to be a Microsoft partner.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to be a partner, you know, you're somebody in your organization is going to have them. But for residential techs, you know, for this show, I don't know that I've heard a lot of people talk about A plus, and that's an easy cert to get. But I don't know that you'd gain a whole lot out of it, because if you can build a computer from scratch, and you know the difference between your processors and your RAMs, you could easily pass the A plus. And I don't, now the network plus and the security plus, you might get something out of. If you're going to do work for small businesses, you definitely get some benefit out of those, because they really go into the nuts and bolts of how the everything on the network talks to each other, how the routers do their routing. you know, all that sort of stuff. So for the residential techs, you might not need it, but if you're doing small business, you could probably benefit from the network and the security plus.
Okay. Network and security plus. I guess I'm not familiar with them. I didn't do too many small businesses, but, I would assume as businesses looking for computer technicians, do they look for that?
I've never had a business ask me about it.
Right.
It's more of a background, and, you know, really knowing that, for me, really knowing the nuts and bolts. The stuff that I learned while I was training for those certifications is really what's vital.
Okay.
So if you wanted to just get the books and go over the books and never take the test, you'd do just as good.
That's why I think certs should be. You do it for the learning, not just for the piece of paper at the end. So if the information that you are using for those certs, you're finding that it is vital for your business, then it's definitely worth getting, I think. What are we talking as far as costs here? How much does it cost to get one?
Well, the books are probably $30 to $50 a piece, and then for the lower end tests, like I'm talking about, you're probably looking at $100, $100.50 to take the test. So it's not, you know, it's not a huge chunk of change.
Right. Right.
If you wanted to go to one of the week long intensive boot camps, you know, and just get it all crammed out in a week, those are pretty pricey. But I've never taken one of those, and I don't know if they'd be worth the time.
Right. Those are for, I think, the undermotivated ones.
Yeah. Or if you need, you know, if you're all ready to get a job, but you need that certification.
Yeah.
That'd probably do it for you.
Yeah, I can see that too. What certs do you have?
I've got A plus, network plus, security plus, and Microsoft certified professional for Windows XP.
Gotcha. And what do you recommend then for somebody? Just like, I know you said before the security and network, but any other ones that you like or recommend or think are vital for somebody who maybe, for, I guess, not residential, but looking to do small business?
If I had to do it all over again, I would have gotten my CCNA, the Cisco Certified Network Administrator, I think is what it stands for. Because I'm running into a lot of Cisco gear out there, and Cisco's a lot different than, you know, your Netgear and your Linksys routers that I'm used to running into.
Really? What, so you would do, so like, how tough is that to learn and how much is that running? The Cisco stuff.
The Cisco stuff is quite a bit more. I went through the training in college. I had, I think, two Cisco classes that were supposed to get you ready for the exam, but I guess I didn't hit the books hard enough because there was no way I was ready to take those exams.
Really? I guess it's not all about books.
Yeah, those are intense.
Really? But it's good money, though, right, with those jobs?
Yeah, you get Cisco certifications, and I could probably make another $5 to $10 an hour.
Damn. That's good to know.
So, yep. Plus, all the networking that you need to know to pass that test would have really helped, you know, in what I'm doing every day.
Really?
So, yep.
That's another good thing to know. It's like I said before, that's what you study for, practical knowledge.
Absolutely.
All right, what else do you want to go over about certs? Anything? Recommendations, opinions?
Well, that's about all I got on that topic. If you're going to do small business, you'd probably benefit from taking a server cert or at least the training for it. Server 2003 or 2008, maybe small business server, learning. If I hadn't taken the training for those, you know, I wouldn't know Active Directory. I wouldn't know all about DNS and that stuff that I'm troubleshooting every day. So those were beneficial.
Okay, good. Sounds good. Yeah, it's always an issue with the certs when we talk about it on here.
Yeah, I don't know that and my current employer never asked, you know, if I had any of those certifications. I put them on my resume because they look good, and I guess they were impressed by it because they hired me, but because I was fresh out of school. So, you know, it may help you get your foot in the door. Definitely.
Cool. All right. What else do you want to go over?
Second thing I got that I kind of learned the hard way is taking notes on my clients. Found out the hard way that, you know, keeping notes up on your clients. I know Mike had said this on Podnuts Pro that you've got to, he's got a folder. I don't know if it's a physical folder or if it's on the servers at each client location. And, you know, you've got, their network set up, their IP addresses, their DHCP, all that stuff. That kind of stuff's vital when you're working with small businesses because, you know, every one of their networks is different. They've all got different routers, different firewalls, different ISPs, and keeping a list of usernames, your DHCP scope, passwords and mail server settings, all that kind of when the antivirus expires, all that stuff's pretty important. And so I use for keeping notes, I've got a file right on the server at each client location, and then I've also got a big manila folder back at my office with all their network information on it. And about the last year or so, I've been using Evernote. Do you use that?
I've used it maybe for a week or two at one point, but I haven't touched it in a while.
Oh man, I'd be lost without Evernote.
Really? It's that good?
Yeah. Well, I use it. It's on every computer I own, and it's on my iPod Touch, and you know, so everything syncs together, and no matter where I am, even as long as I've got a Wi-Fi connection, I can jump on Evernote, and I've got all my client information, their usernames, passwords, anything I need to know, what the IP address of the copier down the hall is. And so it's, yeah, I'd be kind of lost without it because I don't even need to take a laptop with me anymore.
What do you do it on your phone?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, it looks like Evernote's accessible pretty much from anything, isn't it? Phone, iPad, laptop.
Yeah.
And what is it? It's all in the cloud?
You've got a desktop application too. So you can install it on each desktop. You can throw it on your laptop. I think Android's got an app. I know the iPhone and iPad's got an app for it. So
where's the information stored? On the actual desktops or in the cloud?
It's synced in the cloud.
I see. That's great.
And so I jot something down at work on my desktop and close it. I don't have to save it or anything. You just hit close and pull it up on my iPod Touch and it's there.
Nice. How much is it?
It's free.
How long is this thing going to be free for? It's been free forever.
I know. I've never paid for it. I know they do have a paid version.
Yeah.
And I think it's only like $10 a month, maybe, but you've got to be transferring a lot of information to need to pay for it.
Right.
I think you got to get over a certain bandwidth before they even ask you to pay for it.
Yeah, it looks like free you get 60 megs a month. Premium you get 1 gig a month. Sponsored, I'm not sure what sponsored is. Notebook sharing via Evernote web, read only. Okay, yeah. Okay, I can see how. Yeah, the premium.
I
got some extra features.
I suppose if you were keeping entire PDFs on it or something like that, you might be transferring enough information to need to pay for it. But I've never even come close. But it's got my TechNet product keys, list of DOS and Linux commands, and then I've got broad categories like XP, Vista 7, Server 2003, and then, you know, the quick little tips that you hear on podcasts or pick up in a blog, you copy and paste them right into Evernote, and it's got browser plugins. So you can just highlight something, hit the Evernote button at the top of your browser, and it'll automatically drop it in there.
Nice. You know, the one thing I remember about Evernote, which was kind of special at the time, I don't know if they still do it or whatever, is Evernote has the ability to recognize text inside photos. So you don't have to, like, you could take a picture of something, and if you do a search in your notes for text that's in that photo, in the JPEG or whatever, it can recognize it and include it in your search. Does it still do that?
It says it still does that. I've never had real good luck with that. The only thing I've ever got it to recognize the text in a picture is the sample ones that come with it. But
that's great.
I don't know if my phone's got too low a resolution or what the deal is, but
all right.
I've never got that to work.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know.
I use it for handwritten notes, but
right.
Next thing I thought we could go over is Microsoft's new BPOS. Are you familiar with that?
BPOS?
BPOS, Business Productivity Online Suite.
No. What is that?
We just started offering it maybe a month ago, and it's online Exchange, SharePoint, Office Communications, which is instant messaging and kind of like Skype. It's got peer-to-peer audio calls, and then it's got Office Live Meeting, kind of like a GoToMeeting. You get all four of those for $10 a month. And if you just want the online Exchange, it's only $5 a month.
Really?
Yeah, it's been we've shown it to I think 3 clients, and we've got one that I'm installing it right now, another one that said they want it, and the third one's real interested in it. So it's pretty much everybody our salesman shows it to, you know, they're real interested in it, because if you're currently hosting your exchange, and it's, say you've got a server that's 4 or 5 years old, rather than getting a new server, you can upload, you can transfer your, migrate your on-site Exchange server up to the cloud, let Microsoft handle it. You know, they got 99.9% uptime. They're going to be able to administer it probably way better than I can.
Right.
They back it up. And, you know, $5 a month per user. It's kind of a no-brainer. You don't have to buy a new server for Exchange. You can squeeze a few more years out of your old server because you're not doing, you know, it's not carrying the Exchange load. Now all it's doing is Active Directory. So,
yeah, but it sounds great. It sounds great for a customer. How do you guys make money on that?
We get a percentage of, I don't know what it is. You'd probably have to have 30 clients on it to really start seeing some serious money on it. But, you know, we've got one client that's almost done with it, and I'm still getting called in for email issues. You know, people accidentally deleting email and that kind of thing. Right. I'm not in there as often as I was fixing email problems, but, I don't think it's going to put me out of a job or anything.
Right. No, I got you. What were people using before this, like to do these tasks? Cause you said you're not out there as much, as you were. What were people doing in the meantime?
They had on-site Exchange servers.
Okay.
And the SharePoint and the Live Meeting and the Office Communications, the one client that we've already got online, they aren't using any of that yet.
Right. 'Cause
they're a small financial services firm, and you know, it's 15, maybe 20 people, and so they don't really have a use for SharePoint. But
what is that, like a Google Wave kind of thing, where just documents are created and people collaborate on them?
Yeah, they call it an intranet, and I'm not really sure. I know you can do damn near anything you want to do on SharePoint, but you can do group calendars, online meetings, shared folders, shared contacts. Yeah, kind of like Wave, you can work on a document at the same time. You can have an online library. So if you've got a bunch of PDFs, you can store all those in a folder. But most of this stuff you could do with shared folders. You know, right. That's how all of our clients are doing it right now.
I see.
This is a slicker, easier way to do it, and it gives you accountability because you can check documents in and out. You can save several revisions. So if you start a new document at noon and you work on it, and then Joe down the hall works on it at 1 o'clock and you want to go back to your noon revision, that's super simple to do. So
I got to tell you, I'm checking it out on the website. This is pretty amazing for a business for $10 a month.
Yeah, we looked into probably a year and a half ago. We looked into online Exchange when they first started offering it, maybe 2 years ago, and it was so expensive that there was no way I was going to be able to, with good conscience, to talk any of my clients into it.
How much did they want for it?
Oh God, probably $50 a month per user.
Wow. Per user? Wow.
Yeah. And now it looks like Microsoft's going to replace the BPOS with Office 365, which is going to be a little more money, but it gives you the online, kind of a Google Docs, it gives you the online office suite, plus you can get the desktop regular office suite as well if you want to install it locally and use it on the cloud, plus Exchange, SharePoint, Office Live Meeting, and Communications, and that's maybe $15 a month. And you get the whole office suite, so you don't have to buy that up front.
Wow. That's called Office 365?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, they got to stop using those numbers like that. It's getting kind of annoying. That's pretty cool, though. And that's $15 a month?
I'm not sure on the price, but that one you can go in several steps with the Business Productivity Online Suite. You can do $5 just for Exchange or $10 for the whole ball of wax. And the Office 365, I think, starts at $4 a month. And if you get everything that's included in BPOS plus the online office plus the desktop office suite, you know, it might run you $20 a month.
Cool.
Something like that. Yeah, it's pretty good because, you know, what's Office? $150-$200 per license.
Right.
And if you can get into that for $10 or $15 a month, that'd be a lot better than forking out all that money up front.
Right. You know, and I also like this the Microsoft Office Communications. It's like a IM just for your office, you know?
Yeah. Yep, we're using, I forget the name of the little client that we're using internally, because there were several of our users that wanted, they were using
AIM.
I think they were using AIM, and my boss just went off the deep end and said, we don't need to be using that. Said, well, it's quicker for us to type something rather than, you know, than to get up and walk down the hall. And so I did a little research, and I forget the name of this little company, but it's a free app that does the same thing. It's all internal. It doesn't go out to the internet and gives you that capability.
Oh, that's great. Good stuff. I like this. It's a neat program. It's impressive from Microsoft.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if the Office 365 is out yet. I know it's been in beta for a while, but if it's not out now, you should be able to get it in the next month, I would think.
Okay.
One other thing that was a big selling point on either one of those is called Outlook Anywhere. After you migrate the user's email from their on-site Exchange server up to the cloud. This financial services firm had, you know, they've got to keep 7 years worth of emails, so their mailboxes are huge.
Right.
So I was doing one or two users a night. I'd fire off the upload at like 5 o'clock and then come in the next morning, go over to their desktop, and you got this small, light little sign-in client that you install and enter their username and password, or their email address and their password. And that fires up every time Windows starts up and goes out, connects to the Exchange server in the cloud. And so it doesn't matter if you install that sign-in client on a laptop, it doesn't matter if they're connected there at the office or if they're down the street or if they're on vacation. They fire up their computer. As long as Outlook's installed on there, it connects to the online Exchange server, and you know, you've got Outlook just like you were at your office. So you've got full access to your contacts and calendar and email, and it's pretty sweet.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. They're really getting slick with the productivity apps here.
Yeah, I think they're trying to keep up with Google.
Yeah. They're, you know, it's funny. We'll see what the how they're going to converge. They're eventually going to butt heads heavy on. I mean, they're starting to now, but they're still pretty distant. I think they're going to really, I guess with the all the online stuff, they're really going to get in a big fight about this. Let's see what happens. Good luck to both parties, and any,
I guess.
And any third party that wants to join. Cool, man. What else do you want to go over?
Boy, I flew through those a little faster than I thought I was gonna.
All right.
I've got a couple of programs here that I thought I'd recommend.
Sure.
excuse me. Secunia PSI. You ever use that?
Yeah, I've never used it. We talked about that maybe 2 years ago. I think Simon Zarafa brought that up. Let's go over that again. Secunia.
Well, they've updated it. I use it on all my computers. Anytime I do a new install, it's, you know, one of the first five apps I put back on the machine. Cause it keeps pretty much every piece of software on your computer up to date, whether it be Adobe or Java or, VLC. It looks at them. If there's a new version out there, it tells you, and it gives you a link. And then all you got to do is click on the link. It takes you to the website and you hit download and it installs.
I see.
So for, you know, if you're technically inclined, it's kind of a no brainer. It makes it real easy, but right. it was never something that I'd put on my end users' computers, because they'd click on the link and it'd take them to a website and then they didn't know what to do right. or where to click or which version they were supposed to download. So, but here, I don't know when they updated it, but it wasn't too long ago. They just came out with version 2.0 and it automatically scans your system when it finds a program that's out of date and downloads and installs the newest version. So it's almost 100% hands off.
Nice.
You install it and, you don't have to, unless it's, you know, some kind of funky install that it can't do automatically, probably. Well, I haven't had to touch it since I installed it a month ago.
Wow.
It just runs in the background and you don't even know it's there. It just pops up and says, "Oh, I updated VLC for you. You're all set."
And it's free.
Yep, it's free.
It's Secunia, Secunia, for anybody who hasn't heard of this. Secunia.com, and it's the PSI, the Personal Software Inspector. Sweet.
Yeah, they make another version that's internet only, maybe? Or standalone?
Online Software Inspector?
Yeah.
Okay.
OSI. Yep. I use the PSI. And install it right on the desktop. But yeah, I know that the OSI might work better for mobile text.
I see. Okay. It doesn't install anything?
I don't think so.
Neat.
I've never used it, but I think that's the difference.
I see.
I think you just go to the website, fire off, I don't know if it's Flash or Java, but it does a quick scan of your system, says you got these five programs that are out of date, and here's the links for them. So,
very cool. This is good stuff. I like that.
The other one, the last one that I use all the time is, it's called Remote Desktop Manager. It's by Devolutions.
Okay.
And if you do a lot of remote support, or if you have a lot of virtual machines, I only use this program for remote support, but it looks like it'd be very handy for virtual machines as well. If you were, you know, somebody like Timster that uses a lot of VMs, but you set it up and it'll do Windows Remote Desktop. It does LogMeIn, VNC, TeamViewer, does FTP, SSH, and then it does VMware, Virtual PC, VirtualBox. You set up what machine you want to remote into, give it the username and password, and it remembers everything, and it gives you a a list of all the computers, so you don't have to remember what the IP address is, what the name of it was. You just click the button and go.
So it's just a manager of your remote clients.
Right. Yep. And it, I just found out today when I was looking up who made it, that that it also does VMs. So if you do a lot of virtual machines, if I don't know if it'd be a better manager than the than like VirtualBox,
right?
You know how that gives you a list of them,
right?
I don't know if that'd be better than using this or not, but but for remote desktop work, it's awesome.
It looks awesome. I didn't even know anything like this existed. It's, and how much does it cost?
That one's free as well. I think they've got a paid version. What is it? I use the free one, but there is an enterprise license, a single license for $25. And if you want a site license, you can get one of those for $250. Hmm. But I've got probably 30 different connections setting on my desktop now. And, you know, they're everything from, I've got 5 or 6 log me ins, probably 10 or 12 remote desktops, a couple VNCs on there. And it remembers all the settings. You just, as long as you know which PC you want to get into, it'll get you into it.
Damn. This is really cool, man. Great tip. We never heard of this one before.
I don't remember where I stumbled upon that one, but yeah, I got to the point where I had so many virtual machines remote desktop connections, VNC, and you know, so I had shortcuts all over my desktop at work, and was looking for a way to clean that up, and stumbled upon this, and yeah, I've been using it for probably 2.5 years now.
Really,
it works great.
That's great. Yeah, remotedesktopmanager.com. If you Google it, if you Google remote desktop manager, this is like first one in there. It definitely will come up. So that's probably how you stumbled upon it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. I looked for it tonight, and it was the first hit.
So. Yeah. Cool.
And I think that's about all I got.
Yeah, no problem. No problem at all. Hang tight. I'll read some emails, and I think we may have a voicemail or two.
Awesome.
Okay. Oh, no, wait, we don't, because we just did the show yesterday. But we do have one email, so I'll read that. It's from Eric. Okay, it's so short. We were talking about Microsoft Office accounting in one of the shows for managing, like, your clients and stuff like that, and that's what I used at my shop. I used Office accounting 2008. And Eric says you could just upgrade to 2009 pretty easily. So I think that's when they stopped making it in 2009. But he wrote me an email about that. Let me see if there's any other. I don't think we got anything else. Let me double check. No, I forgot we did a show yesterday. Yeah, all the emails and voicemails are done. But if you do want to send us an email, guys, you send it to mail@podnuts.com. Definitely ready and willing to accept them. If you want to call us, give us a phone call at 707-6-PODNUT. Leave a voicemail. We'll play it on the show. 707-6-PODNUT is the number. Lastly, if you want to be a guest on PodNuts Daily, do what Mark did. It's super easy. You just go to podnuts.com/guests. You fill in your name, information, put your Skype name, which I didn't get from Mark because I didn't ask for that. Stupid me. But luckily, he contacted me at the last minute. And you can be on PodNuts Daily. I said this yesterday, I will have all the February dates opened up on the site tonight. So if you want to sign up for any date in February, go for it. They will be up and posted tonight. So February is wide open as of right now. Well, anything else, Mark, you wanted to go over before we end off?
I don't think so, Steve. I think I'm fresh out of material.
Okay. Where can people find you if they want to contact you or hear you? I know you do a podcast.
Yeah, I just started one. It's pretty rough so far, but I threw up a website at certifiedsysadmin.com. You can email me at feedback@certifiedsysadmin.com. It's on iTunes. I just set up a Twitter and a Facebook account. Those are both at the CSA podcast. So lots of ways to get a hold of me.
Nice. Very nice site. Very WordPressy.
Yeah. Yep. I'm trying to keep it simple right now because I had to learn the podcasting, the RSS,
yeah,
the whole mixer and Mac thing.
Oh,
and
man. I wish I could have had my product done for you before you started. What do you use for podcasting on WordPress? Do you use the PodPress plugin or what?
PowerPress, I think it's called.
PowerPress. How does it work for you?
It's pretty easy. I think PowerPress is the. I think they quit developing PodPress.
Okay.
And they moved to PowerPress. It's made by. It's owned by Blueberry.
Aha, uh-huh. I see.
Lots of nice stats. Makes it pretty easy to insert your artwork and attach, you know, to create the MP3. I went to FeedBurner, set up a feed, and PowerPress does all my iTunes, set up the, you know, all the iTunes tags and build in all those fields. And yeah, it's PowerPress is pretty easy to use.
Okay, good to know. I need to include this in my upcoming product. See, because I use Drupal, and I'm not going to lay that down on a beginner. So
I looked at Drupal and I knew I had a buddy that designs websites in Drupal, and he said, "Dude, stay away from it. Said, it is way too much to if all you want to do is that, you know, go with WordPress. It's so much easier."
Yeah. You know, Drupal is very powerful, but it's like if you went to a car dealership and you just bought an engine and took it home and tried to drive it. That's the way Drupal is, because it's a very powerful engine, but to customize it, you just, you know, it's not impossible, but it's, you have to add modules and you customize it however you want. Once you get it done, the thing's a beast. It's awesome. But WordPress lends itself much more to just starting out, especially on podcasting.
Yeah, the Drupal sites look a lot better when they're done.
Yeah.
They look like they take three times as long to do.
They do, you're right. Well, that's a great site. Good luck with your podcast. Hope you have a lot of fun with it.
Thank you very much.
No problem. And thanks for coming on the show, Mark.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
No problem. And we're looking forward to more new guys. So come on Podnuts Daily. I promise I'll have those dates posted tonight and hope you guys will fill them up fast. Because this is fun. It helps everybody, and it helps yourself too. You'd be surprised how good you feel when you impart some information to others about what you're doing. Doesn't it feel good, Mark?
It does. Yeah, I was a little nervous when I started, but I still am a little bit. But yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's worth it. Okay. Well, that's going to be it, guys, today for Podnuts Daily, or tonight. Stay tuned for Podnuts Pro coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Don't go anywhere. Music for Podnuts Daily has been provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/Evan King.